Welcome to the Inter-Able Dating Show. I'm your host, the Mad Chronically Ill Girl, and we have some tantalizing choices for you, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, so let's get started.
Is it behind door number one or door number two?
What's behind door number one? A wheelchair! What do you get with the first one, Johnny? You get a lifetime of headaches changing adult diapers and your own personal adult baby to have and to hold forever and ever. They are yours. Thanks, Johnny. And behind door number two, what do we have here? Normal. That's what someone said to me the other day. I want someone normal, and I'm entitled to that. I don't want to have to change diapers and take care of someone for the rest of my life. I want someone I can be, air quotes, normal with and have a normal life. I've always hated that word normal because no one can tell me what normal means. No one. What does normal mean to you? Somebody that can stand right next to you and hold your hand and be the Prince Charming or Princess you've always wanted them to be? What is normal? Is someone in a wheelchair, even though everything about them and is what you find yourself doing? They like the same shows. They go to the same movies. They eat the same foods. So what makes them different because they are sitting down in life? Shane Burkaw has a blog, and it's called Laughing at My Nightmare, where he talks about his life with a disability. He has something called spinal muscular atrophy, and it's a type of muscle disease that makes his muscles weak. You can check out Shane and his new wife, Hannah, on their YouTube channel as well as on Instagram. Their channel is called Squirmy and Grubs, and they show their life in painstaking detail. My favorite video right now is How to Cuddle, and they're going strong on social media as well as their relationship. And Shane Burkaw, he's a handsome, strapping young man who happens to be in a chair, and she's a beautiful blonde who happens to be in love with Shane. I mean, they appear to be in a healthy, happy, loving relationship, and they just recently got married. Congratulations! There should be no problem, right? Wrong. The hatred. God, the hate they receive. People believe their relationship is fake. And there are some people who can't possibly comprehend why Hannah would want to be with a guy like Shane. It's completely ridiculous. People assume that Hannah is his nurse instead of his girlfriend and believe he can't speak for himself. Strangers have even pet him on the head and asked if she wanted some ice cream for the little guy. But Shane handles these incidents with his wicked sense of humor. I debated whether or not I was going to show some of his videos and play some of his videos for you guys. No, I'm going to let you guys do that for yourselves. You need to check it out for yourself. Shane is wickedly funny. Hannah is just gorgeous, and she's amazing. She's just as funny, and she's kind of taking on Shane's perverse, you know, sense of humor. So you guys need to check it out for yourself. And I promise you, you'll be in for a surprise. Shane is even laughed at when he asked for a beer. I'm sure the second time he asked wasn't a fun experience for that waiter. And not to say that these people do anything wrong. Don't get me wrong here. I'm just saying that people really need to start expanding. Okay? Expand what they know and what they believe about disability, and they shouldn't assume that Shane is helpless just because he's in a chair. And again, this isn't about shaming people like waiters and people in stores and things like that. No, we shame trolls. And if you are a Patreon exclusive member, then you will find out what we got in store for those trolls later. I mean, Hannah is, you know, his primary caregiver. Oh, he's also given the children's menu when they go out. I mean, really? Really? So Hannah's Shane's primary caregiver, and that's a role that she's relished. She helps him wash, eat, and drink, and use the bathroom. His condition makes him, you know, somewhat reliant on her help. But other than that, they're a normal couple. And I mean, if you guys think about it, this is no different than if one of you had the flu, you know, and someone had to take care of you. And, you know, that's love. If someone's willing to go through those lengths to, you know, take care of you. And when you're at your, when you're feeling like you're at your worst. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, I'm not one of those people that say, you know, I know about disability. It was like having the flu. No, I'm just trying to get people to, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because I know the vast majority of my listeners are disabled. But some of you are not, and some of you are caregivers. And some of you are just curious. So I guess I'm speaking to everybody here that, you know, we need to open our minds and experience what disability is. And it's more than just, you know, me going outside with a helmet and a caregiver. And that's pretty much just it. And that's just ridiculous. However, when the sex word that I won't say, which is sex, comes up on this podcast, people assume that Hannah could never, honey, never be satisfied by a guy in his condition. I mean, we speak like his condition. Is he pregnant? I mean, he's disabled, okay? It doesn't mean that nothing works. When people think paralyzed, you know, they tend to think petrified, you know, when something is completely turned into wood, you know, and they're like, oh, well, can a man still have an erection if he's paralyzed? It doesn't mean nothing works, guys. It just means that, you know, things tend to work a little different, okay? There are many people who, you know, deal with this all the time. So Shane and Hannah didn't invent inter-able relationships. They're called inter-able because like with the word interracial, when you have, you know, two people of a different race, you have two people of varying abilities, one disabled, one able body. And that's called an inter-able relationship. There are thousands of people in this situation. You know, I am a disabled person. I've experienced this close up and personal. And I know what that's like. And, you know, people tend to infantilize me and treat my partner as if, you know, they are the caregiver. So, you know, I'm not just going to talk about, you know, Shane and Hannah as wonderful as they are. There's another channel, Cole and Charisma. And their channel is called Rolling with Cole and Charisma. And they display their relationship out there on social media. They, too, have a YouTube channel. They're also interracial as well as interable. Cole is white. Charisma's black. Cole is in a wheelchair. Charisma is not. So that's another added dimension on things. And you can find them on YouTube with Roll with Cole and Charisma. And I believe they're engaged as well. I actually found Cole and Charisma's channel first on YouTube, and I was very intrigued by it because not so much that he was disabled, more because they were interracial, you know, at a time of racial strife in this country. So I found their channel, you know, and I found it interesting based on, you know, those two dynamics and how they work together. Cole shattered his vertebrae in 2011 and around actually the same time I started using a chair, which is about a year later, and he severed his spinal cord. Charisma is also his caregiver, but I believe she was a physical therapist that worked at the same physical therapy place where he went for his physical therapy, and that's how their love stories began. And it's just such a cute channel. Cole and Charisma and Shane and Hannah they're all just so cute and wonderful. And it just shows you guys, you know, that there is literally nothing that you can't handle in life, even though things may seem so hard and you may feel like just because you go through some tragedy that life is over for you. I thought that, and boy, was I wrong. I mean, there is so much living that I've done. Honestly, I've probably done more living. I've done more living with disability. Okay, then when I was able-bodied and able to run and do gymnastics and do backflips and cartwheels, and I could do all of that stuff. And I probably live more now than I did before. So, you know, seeing these videos have given disabled people hope that they can find love, not just because they're disabled, but because a lot of people have yet to open their minds to extend their dating pool to include people with disabilities, okay? I'm not saying everybody has to run out and find someone with a disability. That's nonsense too. You don't want someone to be with you just because you have a disability. That's the opposite. And we're going to talk about that in a future episode too, of how people in wheelchairs and with disabilities, they tend to have these other people with fetishes who like disabled people, and they seek out disabled people for that reason alone, because they have a fetish. It's a lot of different people out there, you guys. So everyone has an idea of what they want their relationship to look like. You know, Princess Charming or Princess Tiana. I'm black, whatever. On a white horse. And no one wants to see Princess Tiana or Prince Charming in a wheelchair. Or at least some people don't. I mean, you know, people have their idea. Their idea, okay, this is what I want this or this person to look like. I want her to have long hair or and beautiful skin and nice teeth and a good family and values. And I want him to be the same. And yeah, your Prince Charming may not come on a horse. He may come in a wheelchair, you know, or he might have a walker, or he might have a stutter, or he might have bipolar issues, or he may, you know, your Prince Charming or Princess Charming, they may come in a variety of different ways. And just because they're able-bodied now, today, doesn't mean they'll be able-bodied tomorrow. And a lot of people forget that. So I don't understand why these attachments to, you know, the tools that we use. A wheelchair is a tool. I'm not a wheelchair. You're not dating a wheelchair. I'm an actual person with feelings and boobs, you know? So I don't understand this whole, oh, she's in a wheelchair. I mean, people really need to get beyond that. And I blame the media for not being inclusive enough. When they display people with wheelchairs, they tend to display us as tragic characters. They tend to see us as, oh, poor pity you. And my life is just not like that. I honestly pity some able-bodied people because my life is better than theirs, okay? It just is. And that's not to say, oh, I'm better than them. It's to say my life is better. And I live a full, healthy life, and so does Shane, and so does Cole, and many other people with disabilities, and we just wish you would get beyond the tools that we use, like canes and crutches and shower chairs and all these things, guys. They're just things. So check these people out on their social media pages, Squirmy and Grubs, Roll with Cole and Charisma. I promise you, they are a great way to spend a weekend, and you will quickly fall in love with both couples, as I have already, okay? So check them out. And another topic I wanted to talk about really quickly before we go today. We reached a grim milestone today. This afternoon, it was 200,000 Americans are dead from COVID-19. So let's put that in context. Let's put that in some perspective. And this is from ABC News. 58,000 Americans died in Vietnam. 67,000 people died of drug overdoses. 36,000 people died in the Korean War. And this tops that. 675,000 people died in the pandemic that swept the nation in 1918-1919. So we aren't at that number yet, God forbid. However, this is one of the worst pandemics in American history. The United States has 4% of the world's population, but we have the most deaths with COVID. The world's tally currently for deaths are 930,000. And we have 200,000 of those. So put that in perspective. That's More deaths. The next country that comes close is Brazil with 133,000 deaths and India with 82,000 deaths. But remember, India has 1 billion people. So if you look at the population rate, their death rate is actually lower in terms of the numbers per capita or per the population. So we're failing. Okay, we're failing. We have failed. We keep falling for these dumb hoaxes, and COVID-19 is a hoax, and people are lying to you, and let's not take this serious, and I need a haircut, and I need to do this, and I'm not going to sit around and let some pandemic run my life, and I'm not going to wear a mask, and I'm sick of hearing about COVID. Well, guess what? COVID isn't sick of you. It is not a thing. It is not a thing. And yet we've made it a thing. And people are dying. We're treating them like a joke. We need to wake up, people. This is still a pandemic going on. And people are out there treating it like we're doing fine. We're not. This is serious. This is real. You can be one of those numbers on the board of CNN. And if I'm ever going to be on CNN for anything, it won't be a number in the death column. And I don't want to be in the infectious column. I'm doing everything I can. I nearly bathe in hand sanitizer. I wash my hands. I try not to touch. This is probably the least I've touched my face in years. We are falling for these conspiracy theories. I mean, we've all done things that we didn't need to do. You know, there are some things that I probably didn't need to do. I probably didn't need to go get my hair done. You know, I probably didn't need to go to the store all those times that I went. I probably could have, you know, lessened the time that I went out. We're all guilty of that. But we don't need to pretend like there's nothing going on out there either, because it is. And these numbers keep rising and it's not going away. And I read something the other day that basically said a lot of these deaths and people in these infections are coming from people who decide to go into restaurants and bars and eat and have drinks. Now, that's something I haven't done. I refuse to go inside of a restaurant. There's no way to get fresh air in a restaurant. And I don't care if you're outside. There are hints that COVID is airborne and it can stay in the air for a longer period of time than we believe. And if you're going to play Russian roulette with your life like so many other people have, go for it. I won't want to be part of that. In fact, don't go for it. Stay home. And if you can't stay home, put a mask on your face. Put a mask on your face. How dare you? You don't have the right to put everybody else in danger and put all your germs all over us because you don't believe in a pandemic. Okay, well, just make believe then. Since you don't believe this exists, pretend. Wear the damn mask anyway. We have failed. The first death happened on February 29th, 2020, this year. And from that day, we have managed to let 200,000 people march straight to their death. Think about that. This is no terrorist attack. This is no airplane crash. This is no mass bombing. This is something that could have been prevented by good education, by the health experts all giving us the same information, by people being vigilant and patriotic without, you know, being jingoistic, and coming together and saying we can defeat this pandemic. You have countries like South Korea, they have already gone back to their regular life. They've already gone back to regular life. And we're still in this pandemic and people not even treating it serious anymore. I mean, most people have, you know, the mass fight is still going on, especially with a certain contingent of supporters of a man for president. We won't get into politics here. I try not to get into politics because it's such a volatile thing. But you all know what I'm saying. Whether or not you support Trump or not, you have to admit this response has been bungled from day one. Because look at the cost. We have failed in testing, education, contact tracing, everything. And we let 200,000 of our fellow Americans, these were people with lives. These were people who had things they wanted to accomplish. These were young people. These were doctors and nurses and teachers and people we loved, people we knew, people who were our neighbors and our friends, and we let them die because we wanted to be ignorant. And we thought of ourselves. I can't even watch. I can't even watch anymore. I'm getting emotional. I can't even watch CNN anymore when I see those faces of those people we could have saved. I can't do it. I can't. We've got to do better. This is not over. Not by a long shot. Wear your mask. And on that note, guys, I'm going to wrap this up right now before I get too, you know, upset. You need to follow us at Twitter at Chronically The. That's it. And on Facebook at The Mad Chronically Ill Girl. And we do have merchandise. We have it all, guys. I'm sorry. I'm a little shaken right now because I can't imagine what those families are going through right now. So don't forget to subscribe to us on Patreon. We're doing a very big giveaway for subscribers soon. Right now, we're also doing personalized shoutouts starting today. If you subscribe to at least the second tier on Patreon, we're going to do a special shoutout to you. Once you subscribe, make sure you send me a note with your name and what you want me to announce about you. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. That will be a specialized shout out just for you. Find us at www.patreon.com/staymad. Okay. That's going on until Halloween. So you run to that computer right now and subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to our Patreon, our Twitter, and our Facebook, and check out some of our merchandise because it's really cool. So that's it for me. I am the Mad Chronically Ill Girl, and good night. Don't forget to wear your mask, or I swear to God, I'm coming for you. Good night.